What does it mean to step into the life God has created specifically for you? How do you lean into the immeasurably more that only He offers? How do God's dreams become your own? My name is Susan McPherson, and I am so glad you joined me and some of my friends as we discover how to live a life of meaning and purpose with Jesus at the center. I like to call it living the God Girl life. Welcome to the conversation. Hi, God Girls. I'm so glad you are joining me this week. It is a tough time these days, and I hope that you all are doing well. You are in our prayers. Our God Girl Nation team lifts you up in prayer, and we just encourage you to stay engaged in God's Word. Keep praying. Even through these difficult times, God calls us to continue to serve Him in the ways that He has set out for us, and we just don't want you to be discouraged. We want to lift you up in prayer, and we know that we can trust in a God whose promises are good and who is victorious in the end, no matter what we have to suffer through here on earth. And I know there are a lot of people suffering right now. So we lift all of those people up in prayer and take heart because Jesus overcame the world. So we're thrilled to have you join us. And before I introduce you to my guest this week, I want to make sure that I tell you about our God Girl Nation Facebook community group. If you haven't joined us there, please do so. It's really fun. We have 167 members now. I am just so happy to tell you that. And it's really been fun. We've got all kinds of content on there, and we've got some of our God Girl friends sharing content as well. And I love hearing about what you're doing out there, so please share. I love hearing about how you're discipling people in your church, how you're serving God where you're called in your community, and we just love hearing from you. And if you do have any topics that you want covered, please let us know as well. So thank you so much. We do have a drawing going on right now until October 5th. So how it works is if you're already a community member, we ask you to please invite another person or more people. And every time you invite someone, ask them to give us your name as they answer the questions to join the group so that we can put both of you into the bowl, so to speak, for the drawing. And you can invite as many people as you want. And each time someone joins that you invited, you get entered into the drawing. So it just increases your chances to win. And we are giving you, or the winner, I should say, a $50 gift card for Amazon. And then whoever that winner invited also gets a $50 gift card. So please invite your friends, invite your God Girl friends. We want to grow this community so we can be contagious with our joy in serving the Lord. Also, I have just started posting a Monday morning devotional. It's at 10 a.m. on Mondays, and it's about a 5-minute video. And I'm walking through all the verses that helped us create this ministry and the four foundational principles of God Girl Nation. And that is, God calls us to engage in His Word. God calls us to serve. God calls us to community, and God calls us to build a legacy. And I'm going to walk through each Bible verse. I think there's about 42, and those devotionals will hit our community Facebook page every Monday. And you can walk through it with me by downloading your God Girl Nation handbook for free at godgirlnation.com. You can also sign up for our newsletter there as well. And we do choose a God Girl of the Week, and we highlight that person in our newsletter every week. And then we'll also highlight that person on our Facebook page. So if there's someone that you would like to nominate, let us know. I'd like to tell you a little bit about my guest today. I think you're going to really enjoy getting to know Chrissy Nordhoff. She is a very successful Christian songwriter here in Nashville. She has written songs for Natalie Grant, Jen Johnson from Bethel Music, Torrin Wells, Mandisa, Darlene Check, Travis Cottrell, Corey Voss, Phillips, Craig, and Dean, and that's just to name a few. She has written hundreds and hundreds of songs and worship songs, and I think you're going to really enjoy hearing how God led her to that career. She is a person of genuine faith and love for the church, and she really leans into God to lead her, and you'll hear all about that story and how she ended up here in Nashville and how God really led her into the right direction on her calling. And I just was thrilled to get to work with her on her first book through my career called Writing Worship. It's a wonderful book, and it talks about how to write worship songs for the church. And she'll talk a little bit more about that. But the blessing in all of that, not only to hear her story and work alongside her and her husband, Eric, who actually ended up being my coach on this podcast, which is really super cool. They've become friends, very dear friends, and they have just been an inspiration to me on what it means to serve God and to lean into His call on your life. And I'm just so grateful, and I know you will be blessed getting to know my friend, Chrissy Nordhoff. Chrissy, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, I'm just thrilled to have you and to introduce you to our listeners who may already know you or may not. I am just excited for you to share your story and for us to really dig into your amazing songwriting career. And so I think we're probably best to start off talking about your faith journey, Chrissy. Now, tell everyone where you're from.
Yeah, well, we live right now, my family and I, so I'm married to Eric, and we have three children. We live in Thompson Station, Tennessee, but I moved here right after college. I grew up in Michigan, Southwest Michigan, on a small farm, and really, I'm a farm girl at heart, so came to the Nashville area really for music specifically.
Gotcha. And when did you come to Nashville? Was it right out of college, or did you go to school here?
Yeah, it was right out of college. So I actually went to school at Anderson University in Indiana.
Yes,
I didn't know anything about Belmont or any of the music colleges in Nashville at that time. But there was a new music business program at Anderson University that I was excited about. So I went there, and then so in 96 is when I graduated. And that's exactly, I mean, I literally graduated and then moved straight down to Nashville with no car. When I first, well, I guess it was the week before I was supposed to move. I had no car, no place to live, no health insurance, no job.
Oh my
gosh. And I was supposed to be finishing an internship. I had no internship, and I still was planning on going. And I just knew I was supposed to go. Within a week, I had all those things.
There you go.
So yeah,
that is a leap
crazy.
Of faith.
It's
that
crazy
is,
looking
crazy.
Back.
I know. When you look back at your younger self, you're like, oh, I can't believe I did that. But so glad I did.
Yeah. I don't know if I do that now, but I did that then.
That's right. So growing up in Michigan, tell me a little bit about that. How did you come to know Jesus?
Yeah, well, I grew up in a Christian home. My mom and dad were both saved. And you know, I was going to church from a very young age, and I was just talking about this with a couple of my friends this week, how I was driving in the car with my dad. I was 5 years old, had just lost my grandmother, who was a big part of my life and a big inspiration for me musically. I knew what was happening when my dad was telling me about Jesus and shared the salvation story with me and gave me an opportunity to receive Christ. So I did that at age five. And you know, I remember sitting in church at age seven. We had a missionary come to town, and I was in the front row, watching the slideshow and I heard this missionary say something to the effect of, God might use some of these kids right here sitting in this front row for his kingdom and his purposes. And that was the first moment I felt the Holy Spirit. I just sensed them, you know, like in my heart. And I knew that person was talking about me. Like I knew at that moment, that's for me. And then, you know, I grew up in both Dutch Reformed and Wesleyan churches. Mm-hmm. So very conservative. And around, we had hymns. We had a lot of hymns. And I just remember, you know, watching or going to church and listening to the sermon. But I was really in the hymnal a lot of the time.
Were you?
Yeah, like I was poring over the lyrics and I was learning rhythm, and there's so much. I literally studied the hymns through the services a lot of times. But I remember age 14, I was in the back row, it was a Sunday night, and we were singing that hymn, Consecrated.
Yes.
And there was a line in that song that said, take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Now I know that voice can mean more than just literally your voice. It's, mm-hmm. it's what you're carrying. And it's a lot louder than what you can speak. Right. But at that time I made a commitment, Lord, my life is yours. Just do whatever you want to do. Now I've been through some hard things too, you know, since then I've been through, some crazy pregnancies. I've been through Lyme disease twice. We've had a lot of interesting challenges.
I mean, your bout with Lyme disease was debilitating.
Yeah. Right? Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I got a tick bite with my first pregnancy. Went in and told the doctor, and he said, basically, don't worry about it if you don't get the rash. Well, I now know that only half the people get the rash that get Lyme. So I went through that entire pregnancy. I started not feeling good. I was getting joint pain, and everybody mm-hmm. just said, well, you're pregnant, you know.
Right.
Went through a second pregnancy very soon after that first one, and still just wasn't feeling that great, but didn't know. I'd never been pregnant or, you know, postpartum before and didn't know.
Right.
So when my second baby boy was 9 months old, I started getting a tingling in my left foot, in my toes. And it moved all the way up my left leg, up my left hand. And then it literally came, it sounds so weird to say out loud, but started on my left side of my chin, came around my face and then down my right side. And I started researching and started getting more joint pain. Eventually, we found out after a lot of research and a lot of doctor visits, many of which honestly thought I was crazy because it wasn't very well known at that point in time. Basically, ended up with a doctor in Missouri who diagnosed me with advanced stage Lyme disease.
Oh my gosh. And did you find him on the internet, or how did you, just through your research?
Well, no, we had a friend in town that had been through a similar journey. And one day that friend came to mind and I thought, I wonder if there's any chance, because I had seen how sick that person was. Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's any chance this could be related to that tick bite I had when I was pregnant. So I called my friend and just said, you know, I just was curious. You know I had a tick bite, but I never had the rash. And do you think this could be related? And she said, absolutely. Here's the number of my doctor in Missouri. So she had done a lot of research too, finding this doctor. And it just happened to be a Christian doctor who had almost lost his wife to this disease. So I was diagnosed and started antibiotics, which I went through for 18 months, but that was the first time. But I remember
that is a long time, my God.
Yes. A very long time. And I had two babies at that point, and my husband was traveling. He was doing international sales. So he would be gone for sometimes 3 weeks, you know. It was a hard time. But It's moments like those. It's in the valley that you find the streams. And I did. I just found a new depth in my relationship with the Lord and really pressed into Him. And it wasn't perfect. Like, I was definitely frustrated by the journey, and was honest with Him about my frustration. But I remember crying out one night in the middle of the night. I was so sick. It was hard to sleep because everything, my muscles were twitching so much and moving. Like, you can't find real rest. And I was in pain, and I got up and I opened up my Bible for John, I think it's chapter 4, where Jesus is talking about Lazarus. And He said, "This sickness is not fatal. It's an occasion to show glory by glorifying God's Son." Wow. And so I said, "Lord, I'm just going to believe that's for me. I'm going to believe You're going to heal me and that this isn't going to kill me." And, it was hard some days, but I kept listening to a pastor out of Granville, Michigan, who, you know, I didn't grow up seeing people get healed or praying for healing, really. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a common thing. So it was different. It caught my attention. And anyways, I ended up going to a healing service where this pastor was preaching. He did it twice a year. He called up certain things. I went up front, He prayed for me, and I just felt God's power touch my body for the first time ever in a way I didn't know still happened. And I knew in that moment, like, everything changed. It wasn't just physically for me. It was layers. It was emotionally. It was spiritually. It was understanding the Father's love for me in a different way. And
so powerful, my gosh.
Yeah, and it changed my music. It changed, you know, how I prayed for other people. Mm. It changed so much. But that was probably the greatest event, so to speak, in my faith journey, was that 30 minutes that I had with the Lord. I'll never be the same after that. It changed everything.
Incredible. Wow. Thanks for sharing that. Now, I want to go back. So you're at Anderson College, you're graduating, and tell everyone who was one of your, I want to say one of your teachers, or that everyone would know. I know the answer to this,
but that's right. You read my book.
Yes, of course.
Yes. So my favorite class at Anderson University was songwriting. And it wasn't taught that long, but I just so happened to be there during the window of when it was taught, and it was with Gloria Gaither.
Gloria Gaither, folks.
Yes.
What a blessing.
Yeah. Oh. It was incredible. And I literally left almost every class in tears just because I was so deeply impacted by the heart that she carried for connecting, you know, music. And really some of the first worship, so to speak, that the church experienced with the church. It really changed the trajectory of my life, although I didn't know that necessarily at the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very cool. So you moved to Nashville, and after a year you get your car and you start getting up and running, and you are a songwriter at this point, correct?
Well, honestly, I was chasing the artist thing. Okay. I was a songwriter, but I was really chasing the singer-songwriter direction, looking for a record deal. So, very quickly, within 6 months of moving and doing, you know, some shows and things like that, there was a company that became interested, and it looked like I was going to be a part of that company's roster. Mm-hmm. We went through 6 months of negotiations. I saw the tour schedule. I saw that I'd be touring for 2 to 3 months at a time. This was before I was married.
Okay.
And, but we were, Eric and I were dating, and we were thinking about the future. And really we went back and forth a lot, and ultimately, they decided to drop me. They chose not to sign me. Mm. And I had a decision to make at that time, which was, is this the direction I want to go for my life? This artist thing? Do I want to tour a lot? Is that the real me? Mm-hmm. Is that what God's called me to do? Or I couldn't figure it out. I mean, I knew songwriting was like an option all in itself. But what we ended up doing, what I chose to do, I knew I wanted a family. I didn't think I could really handle traveling and letting my kids play soccer or whatever they wanted to do at the same time. Like,
right.
I just, in my mind, I knew in my heart that that wasn't, I couldn't do all of that well. Mm-hmm. So we really, I did the whole independent artist thing for a long time. So I put out a few albums and we would travel and do festivals and churches and things like that. And I would just sing. And we had a number 9, I think it was, on radio at one point. I had a song called Downpour. It was Outrageous Love, actually.
Outrageous Love.
A while back. And, you know, we started traveling, doing the radio stations and that whole thing. And we were in Michigan one Sunday. And I sang 2 morning services with the boys. We drove 4 hours. I sang a festival that night. And I got to the end of that night and I said to Eric, something's shifting. I don't think this is the way we're supposed to keep going, moving forward. And soon after that, I had a song come out that really gave me the opportunity, but also it was really a revelation to me, really, to see for the first time in a way I understood mm-hmm. that, oh, I can actually stay home and raise my baby, and the Lord can still use my heart if I give him my songs for other artists to sing.
Mm.
So I did not really come to that understanding for a while. It took me a while. So,
sure.
Yeah. So I started letting go of songs, and
which
and
is
the Lord,
probably not easy, right? I mean,
no,
a process. I'm sure
it was a process for me. I could never have done that right when I moved to town.
Okay.
You know, like
right.
I don't think I could have done that then, but. It got easier over time. And I learned, for me, it was kind of like the voice that I mentioned earlier. You know, I was driving to Nashville one day and listening to a song and trying to get ready to share a song story about how we wrote it and all that. And I was listening to it and I thought, oh yeah, I hear my heart in there. I hear my inflections in this girl's, you know, version. Mm-hmm. of what mm-hmm. came out of my heart. And I heard the Lord say, do you know what I hear when I hear your songs? And I said, no. And he said, your voice.
Oh, wow.
I hear your voice. And that shifted everything for me. So what I thought I was supposed to do with my voice shifted in that moment. I had no more fear that I missed anything.
Excellent.
But that this was actually the way he wanted to hear my voice.
This is such a beautiful example of listening to God's promptings and really setting ourselves aside and really following his lead.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, it's surprising. Like, he gave me that peace when I was 14, mm-hmm. but for a long time, I thought that meant literally I have to sing it.
Right.
You know, and then later you find out, oh, okay, Lord, I see what you mean. Now, the way that we interpret what he says to us, has a big impact, you
exactly.
know, in our lives and our paths.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so gracious with us. He's so gentle with us.
He is.
That he loves us into the right place, you know?
Oh, that's so beautiful.
And that's really what grace feels like.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So then tell me about how your big song came about. You've
yes.
got a lot of them, but you know the one I'm talking about. This yes. is kind of, you know, the way I understand it, this was really the first that really catapulted your songwriting career, correct?
Yes. Yep. Okay. This was the one that taught me how to let go.
Okay.
So it's Your Great Name. So I came mm-hmm. home from that healing, from that church service, and I just wanted to pray for other people for healing because it took me about 2 months, but all my symptoms dropped and my blood work changed. So it
incredible.
Was like a certified miracle. But it was hard. Our church was scared to pray for healing because they had seen people not get healed. And we've all experienced that. Like there's some weird earthy thing where, you know, the Bible says pray for the sick, but in our flesh, we get frozen a little bit sometimes because we can't control the outcome of what's going to really happen. And sometimes the Lord might heal here. And sometimes that means heaven. Mm-hmm. I believe either way he heals. But this little boy in our church was so sick, and our church stepped out and prayed for him on a Wednesday night. He had a terminal illness. He was not even 2 years old, had lost the sister to the same thing. Mm-hmm. And a week later, almost to the same minute, he went to heaven. And it was, I could just feel everybody shrinking back in fear and not wanting to do that again. You know what I mean?
Like, yes,
we took a risk. It didn't pay off. That's why we don't do that. Kind of a feeling. Nobody said that, but just mm-hmm. that's how it felt. And on the heels of just being healed myself, that was really stirring in my heart. This, no, we have to pray for healing. Like, we have to do what the Bible says, you know, like Jesus doesn't change. Who he is doesn't change. And I just really sat down at my piano one day, and it was just, I wanted to declare the truth about what the Bible says. What does the Bible say is true that's never going to change? And these are things I wanted to sing. I wanted to declare. I wanted to pray over the body of Christ. I wanted to bring hope.
Mm-hmm.
And hope is a big part of what I love to bring, and truth. Truth is big for me too. But that's when I sat down at the piano and began singing these lyrics, lost or saved, find their way at the sound of your great name. Mm-hmm. And I was in the Psalms, which you've read. I love, you know about the
yes.
Psalms and me. I yes. love the Psalms. I do. I sing the Psalms every day. But I had been in one of the Psalms, and I never remember which one, but it repeats the line, but his love never fails, over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll have another line, and then that repeat comes back. And that was in my heart. So when I sat down to play, it came out a little psalmish. Lost or saved, found their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned, feel no shame, at the sound of your great name. I was repeating just that sort of feeling that I got from the song. And then Mike O'Neill was my worship pastor, and he came in and helped on the chorus and on the bridge. And we finally got it right. It took us a little while. And yeah, so
such
it came out.
Beautiful song.
It was written and started in 2008, I believe. I was pregnant for my daughter Anthem
okay.
at that point in time. And that came out in 2009. We finished it, I think. It was recorded 2010, went to radio, I think, in 2011, and then won the Dove Award in 2012.
So how were you notified that Natalie Grant wanted to record that? What is that process like? Does her agent reach out to you, or how does that work? A lot of us don't know how that works.
Well, my husband had worked in the industry before, and I was an unsigned writer. So I was just an independent writer at that time.
Okay.
So I didn't have a company that was helping me, but my husband heard the song, loved it, believed in it. And he was on the Gospel Music Association board with Mitchell Solaric, who was and still is Natalie's manager.
Okay.
So he handed it off to him. at the same time, Michael Neal shared it with Natalie's husband. So we're not sure which direction went where, but it came in two ways.
Okay.
And then we really heard back, I think, through Mitchell himself. Now that's a rare way to go, but you just never know with these songs how God wants to use them and how he'll get them to where they're supposed to
go. Exactly. He'll get it done. What yes. it's meant to be in his plan.
Yes. In surprising ways.
Oh, and so then was it Song of the Year? What, you won a Dove Award for that? And what was that experience like?
It was Worship Song of the Year. I mean, I had read, you know, CCM magazine since I was little, and I loved Christian music. That's been my heart my whole life, and my calling, and I knew it from a tiny age. So, I mean, I just remember thinking, it felt so redemptive. Like, yes. All the pain I had been through, all the nights when I couldn't sleep, you know, nobody knew except for the Lord. Nobody knew, really. And I just felt like he just took all of that pain and said, guess what? You didn't go through this for nothing. Watch me redeem what you walked through. Mm-hmm. And I've had some testimonies that have blown me away, of other people experiencing healing through that song, or experiencing salvation, even somebody said. It's just, he multiplied, I don't even know how to say it. He took the pain and he multiplied it into something so beautiful. Hmm. Not that I'd want to walk through it again,
right.
You know?
Right. Yes.
But, it's the last thing I would have chosen. But looking back, I was just telling my friends last night, because we've been down here in Florida at the beach, and we could see these storms in the distance, and they're so beautiful from the distance. But when you're in the storm, it's terrible, you know?
Yes.
But now I can say, looking back in the distance and looking at what that storm looked like, it truly is beautiful and breathtaking what God does through storms.
Absolutely. That is beautifully put. I always think about when I'm in a plane, I've been in a plane and I could see, you know, a storm going on in the distance. And it's just so gorgeous. I can't get my eyes off of it. But then in the same breath, I'm like, thank you, Lord, for letting us go around it.
Yes. Yes.
I would not want to be in the plane in that storm. But it's so true. I know for me, my darkest moments that were so difficult and like you, I would not want to go back to. But it was the time when he drew me the closest to him and changed. I love how you use the word shift. It shifted my perspective. It gave me empathy for others in that situation. Yes. So it's wonderful. And how you have used it for your calling and through that song and many, many songs. Chrissy is actually a songwriter for Integrity Music. And, which is a part of my company at David C. Cook Publishing. And so it's super cool that we're connected that way. And that's kind of how I got to know you. So
it's wonderful.
And I love what you're doing in ministry through your Brave Worship community. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. Well, when I first moved to Nashville, I began praying for really a female mentor. And I realized several years in, like, wow, like, are there any here, Lord? Like, is there anybody that learned how to balance ministry and family and industry and has done it well? And where are these people? And specifically, I was looking for a female. And I think it was the 15th year I was in town, asked the Lord why he never answered that prayer. I felt like it was a good request and
a reasonable request for sure.
Yes. And all he told me was, be what you need. And that's when I had a perspective change. I thought, well, okay, Now I know what it feels like. I understand the need. Mm-hmm. I've been on the inside of the need. What if I start trying to meet that? And so I just began gathering women in my living room and going through prayer and encouragement and sharing a little devotional and worshiping together and sometimes doing some co-writes or doing writing exercises, things like that. And it eventually grew into this ministry, which is still going today, called Brave Worship. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a gathering of female worshipers of any kind. And so it's still growing. We do coffees, we do live events, we do conferences, we have a podcast. And then most recently, you know, there have begun to be some resources coming out from that experience, from seeing what they need again and trying to meet the need. So we now have resources, which are more on another side of the ministry. But yeah, it's still meeting. We've done a trip to Scotland, a writing trip. We've done a trip to Ireland last year. And man, it's been so beautiful and amazing to be right in the middle of what's happening in Nashville, but just have this approach that, hey guys, we're not going to compete with one another.
Right.
We're going to cheer one another on. We're going to be for one another. We're going to pray for one another, and really try to build kingdom together, you know, like none of this like individual thing where we're excluding. We're trying to create a seat at the table for everybody. So
excellent. Is it mostly worship leaders and songwriters, and is that really who would benefit from being a part of that community? Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
I know follow you all on Instagram, and I loved and it is it at Brave Worship? What is the Instagram handle? I want to make sure everyone knows.
I think it's just at Brave Worship. Yeah.
That's what I think. Yeah. So your trip to Ireland last year, I highly recommend you guys follow Brave Worship. It was just so awe-inspiring. There is some video on there of you all singing. So you went from city to city and wrote songs with worship teams, correct?
We sort of did an overview, just kind of a gaining understanding of the territory, just kind of a tour. Mm-hmm. And then our last stop was in Dublin, and that's where we gathered the worship leaders. So,
okay. I can't hardly hear you. Hold on.
Maybe I should move in. I think I'm going to move in here. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me just shut this door so it's quiet.
What is that noise?
A lawnmower. Oh my gosh. This is really loud.
Oh, thanks. Okay. We're getting to the end here, so.
Okay, no worries.
Okay. So start at Dublin. So you ended
So we ended in Dublin, and that's where we gathered worship leaders together. So we had 10 worship leaders, and then we had 20 of our girls. And we had sort of a workshop, and we went through the basics on writing songs. So a lot of them had never written anything before.
Oh, incredible.
And it was kind of this... Well, it was a sad story because the area that we were in, there had been a lot of drugs and it had really devastated the city and a lot of suicide and things like that. And really the main pastor told us that they lost their song in the 70s and that it hadn't returned. And you know, the Irish, they're so musical.
Yes.
And they have such a wonderful sound. But when we went to the churches, they were singing American worship songs. And it almost looked like American decor, you know? So we were so excited to come in and listen to them and teach them, but also listen to them and learn their sound and then help them try to put their sound into their own words. You know, we really just helped facilitate So we did that. We had like a writing camp. And then the following day, which was a Sunday morning, we came in and did a couple of those songs during their Sunday morning worship set.
Oh.
There were tears. There was joy. It was what we do these things for, you know, like that is, man, we helped them to find their sound. And a lot of them over there, we still communicate with and they're still writing. And that's become a big part of my heart and a lot of the people that are a part of our community.
I love
it. It's been really fun.
Well, and I had the blessing of working with you on a book you wrote for us here at David C. Cook called Writing Worship. And I highly recommend those of you listening who lead worship, you're on a worship team, or you know someone on the worship team. It's a great book. And what I love about your heart behind it is teaching worship leaders to write songs for their church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something extraordinary about worship teams coming together and really pouring their heart out of where their church is at spiritually and what are the needs of the church and writing music for them in particular. You know, we've got these wonderful worship songs that we get from writers all over, which are fabulous, but how wonderful to work together as a team to write songs for your church, which is
yes,
amazing.
I love that. And, you know, more and more as a staff songwriter, it's not writing as much for artists while I still do that, but it's writing a lot of times for worship teams. So the whole team will come in and then we get to go through that process together. But I really believe it's not just for the big churches. I think it's for all the churches.
I agree. So the book Writing Worship will take you through, it'll take you through all of those steps. It does have your story as well, which is great and inspiring, but it also, tell us a little bit more. You'll explain it better that the book kind of teaches and.
Well, I think just writing so much with, you know, the teams that come to town and all that, I just started noticing a pattern, and that pattern was a lot of times people will come in and say, we want to write a song just like this, whatever hot worship song is out right now. And they want to get as close to that as they can, kind of match it. Or maybe it's even a secular song they want to kind of match, write something like that. And that'll be the target, and they'll follow the same steps or patterns to get there. And what I realized, and you know, I've been writing for years, but what I've come to realize is rarely does God move in huge ways when we put those types of confines around him. Lord, this is, when we pray in the beginning, we just need to say, Lord, move any way you want to. We're open to your heart and what you want to say. Instead of, Lord, we want an upbeat song with blah, blah, blah. Like, put our order in.
Exactly.
It's like a fast food. It's like a fast food restaurant.
That's so true.
Lord, we need upbeat. It needs to have, you know, whatever, flares and this kind of vibe and these kind of words. In Jesus' name, that doesn't work. It doesn't work. And so what I've come to understand, and this is, again, through many co-writes and many years, is our hearts matter. And yes. If we're spending time with the Lord every day, and I give very practical ways to do that, we're having that relationship with him at home daily, then when we get in the writing room, he's going to move the same way. However we relate to him before we walk in the room, that's how he's going to show up for us in the writing room. It's an extension of our heart. You cannot separate it, especially when you're writing worship. You can't separate it. So we talk a lot about the heart, but then I do give some practices that will help you help build your heart in the Lord. And then also we talk about a lot of just the skill behind being a songwriter and talk about what makes up a worship song or what makes the difference or what
what sets it apart. And then we talk about why we need new worship songs. Like, why should we not just be singing what every other church is singing on Sundays? And then we talk about the purposes behind why we're doing it. We talk about community, the importance of community and co-writing, what that looks like. And we also have a tool called the Songwriter Personality Test, which helps you understand what your strengths are as a songwriter and who you should be pairing up with in the co-writing room.
Well, and I think what is so interesting and powerful about the book, it really is empowering for people who aren't songwriters. Even if you don't want to pursue writing songs, it can apply to so many things and ways that God's calling you. And I love that about your message. I think it's really powerful. But I was even thinking, I'm not on a worship team at this time, but I was on a worship team for about 19 years, and how wonderful it would have been to have your book. All of us take the songwriter personality test. Potentially you do a writing worship course. You have a worship songwriter mentorship that's available. Mm-hmm. Had we done something like that as even like a small group type study, we could have just been able to write a song for our church and then really build our team even stronger and to know to tap into that heart and to be disciplined in God's word and just all the things that you were saying. So I'm saying that for all of you who are listening, I encourage you to share that with anyone in your life who leads worship, who is on a worship team, to check it out. I think it's very powerful for sure. And they can just go to your website at ChristineNordhoff.com. We'll have a link for you all, and check out all of those resources.
Yes. And there's actually, a leader's guide too for the book if they wanted to go through that.
Yes.
With their teams.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. So, well, it's incredible. Incredible. Your story is incredible. And you're so talented. We're so glad you answered God's call.
Oh, thank you, Susan.
Are just so dedicated to following him. And you're an inspiration to me and so many. And I thank you for that. And her husband, Eric, is my podcast coach. So I need to give him a shout out. He's an amazing person. So talented, and he's such a strong believer too, which he inspires me as well. So it's so fun to know you guys. Really, really.
Well, we have loved our journey with you, and just walking through the experience of the book process was new for us. But you were a joy in that process, and we love working with you, Susan. So,
The feeling is mutual. Before we end this podcast episode, I like to ask my guest five just personal questions so our listeners can get to know you. So I'm going to start with the first one. What is your favorite movie and why?
Okay. My favorite movie is probably Dan in Real Life. Have you seen that?
Dan in Real Life. Is that Steve Carell? Who is in that?
Yes.
I have not seen that. Okay, so why is that your favorite?
Because I love romantic comedies. I love Steve Carell. He just makes me laugh so hard.
Me too.
And some of his lines in there, oh my gosh. We watch that movie at least once a year at Christmas with the whole entire family because we all just love it.
Okay, and so I am going to watch that. Go watch it.
Yes. I'm actually not a huge like movie TV person.
Okay.
Because, you know, probably over half the time we didn't even have a TV growing up. So I never had that like source of entertainment. But I do enjoy a good Dan in Real Life every once in a while.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Listeners, check it out. Sounds fun. okay. So what is your favorite morning beverage?
Okay. If I'm driving through Starbucks, here's my order. It's a decaf coconut milk latte, venti with stevia and powdered cinnamon.
Listen to that. And it's decaf? You don't drink caffeinated?
I don't. Nope. I don't. I do decaf.
Good for you. That's awesome. Okay. That sounds really fancy and yummy.
And I love their egg bites.
I do too. I love them.
They're so good.
They're so good.
They're so good.
You're the first person that has shared that with me because I love those things.
Okay. Well, one day we're driving through Starbucks and we're getting egg bites, Susan.
Okay. It's a date for sure.
Okay.
Okay. What is your favorite hymn and or worship song?
Man, that one is so hard. I love Great is Thy Faithfulness. And I'll tell you, there's a few worship songs that, well, I love many hymns, but that's probably my favorite. And worship songs, I remember hearing Revelation song for the first time and being completely floored. I love that. I love What a Beautiful Name. I love 10,000 Reasons. I love a lot of the beloved songs.
Yes. Do you know, it's interesting, Shout to the Lord, which is Darlene
Shack. Oh, yeah. Shout to the Lord.
That, and you are friends with Darlene, which it's just so funny. And I work for a company that, with Integrity Music as part of our company, that produced that song and published that song. And it was really instrumental in my faith journey. I remember hearing that for the first time and just tears streaming down my cheeks.
Yes.
So it's really kind of a full circle moment to be here and be semi-connected through my friend, Chrissy.
That's amazing.
She knows Darlene, but it's her integrity. So yeah.
Aww.
Music just can be so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who is the most influential person in your life, or who has been?
Well, honestly, Darlene is one of those people for me. Like, I don't like talk to her on the phone or anything, but she has encouraged me in ways that are so like God moments, God appointed moments.
Mm-hmm.
And just honestly, Susan, to see a female doing what she did first.
Yes.
Honestly, I wouldn't be doing Brave Worship. There was a time when I was going to quit. Like I was 30 years old and I had heard, I had just heard in a record company executive's office, you know, you're too old for the industry.
Mm.
I would have signed you to a record deal today if you were 5 years younger.
At 30?
Mm-hmm. At 30.
Oh my gosh.
And I was literally ready to quit. And I went to a Darlene concert and she said that night, there's a cloud over this town. And she said specifically, and of course I'm not talking to her directly, I'm in the audience, but she said, somebody here has been told they're too old. And I just want you to know I'm a grandmother and I'm up here dancing on the stage tonight. And then she just started dancing.
Oh my gosh, I have goosebumps.
I was like, okay, Lord, I hear you. That was for me. And I just, her books, her songs, the way that she leads.
Mm-hmm.
It's been life-changing.
Have you been able to share that story with her?
Yes, I have been able to share that story with her. In fact, now the church that I'm going to, Hope UC Nashville,
yes,
is part of her covering from Australia. So she came and she's come a couple times, I got to share that with her when she came to Nashville at one point, maybe 5 years ago, but she knows, and she's met Brave Worship and she was actually on our very first ever Brave Worship podcast.
Was she?
Mm-hmm.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about your church because you've just purchased property or have access to property here in Spring Hill, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be a beautiful location for you guys.
Yeah, we're so thankful. I've actually had like just dreams of a song barn for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But as it turns out, I wasn't the only one. And my good friend, co-writer, now pastor,
Dustin Smith has seen that vision too for years. And yes, it's just been beautiful to come together and chase it all together.
Exciting.
In a big community. So yeah, awesome. It's going to be fun.
Okay. My last question, and it may be the same person, but who is your favorite God girl?
Oh, my favorite God girl. That is so hard. I don't know if I have an answer.
Maybe your Brave Worship community.
I have to say my Brave Worship community for sure. Yeah. So I've never experienced community like that, you know? And it's just safe and we can laugh, we can cry, but there's a lot of them and it's beautiful and holy. It's a holy, holy, safe community. So yeah, it's definitely my girls. I love them so much. It's just been, life changing and it's so fun to watch girls go through this process of, you know, coming in and being scared and being maybe even shut down and just really peeling back layers, helping them peel it back.
Right.
And then eventually watching them fly and watching what God does. Just that beautiful metamorphosis has been, it's my favorite.
Well, it's really cool because some of the Brave Worship community God girls have joined our God Girl Nation group. So
that's so cool.
It's been super cool. So we're excited. Yes. And so that's been really neat. So I feel the same about that community. And, you know, we just love just bringing us all together to serve God with contagious joy. That's really what it's all about.
I love that. Yeah. Well, we need to have you over to our community, Susan.
I know. I would love to. I'd love to start getting involved with you guys again because I sang for so many years. Now, I'm not a musician, but
yeah.
I would love to just get to know you all and just learn more about how you guys write songs and all of that stuff. So,
oh, we would love that.
Love that. But thank you so much, Chrissy. I know you're so busy and you have a safe trip home from Florida.
Thank you.
Yes, and we'll have to get together soon for sure.
I would love that. Don't forget, we're going to get egg bites.
I'm in.
Okay.
I'm in.
Sounds
Thanks,
good.
Thanks, Chrissy. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you and all the amazing things you're doing with your community, Susan.
Thanks, Chrissy. Bye.
Bye-bye.
What an amazing God girl Chrissy Nordoff is. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. I'm always inspired by her, and I highly recommend that you go visit her website at chrissynordoff.com, and you can learn all about her various resources for songwriting, about her book. She actually has this really super cool songwriter personality test that you can take. I actually took it. It was really fun. I'm not a songwriter, but it was fun to see what kind of songwriter would I be. And I highly recommend doing that. She also has a writing worship course that you can take if you have any interest in that. She does mentorship for songwriters, and there's a song administration course as well that you can take. So she's got lots of resources. Plus, her book, Writing Worship, is awesome. I remember one of our editors saying, I feel like I could write a song after reading this book. And it's true. And it's super inspiring. And I highly recommend it. And if you are on a worship team or you have a friend on a worship team or you know the worship leader at your church really well, I highly recommend this book for them and you passing that information on to them. I think it would make a great small group resource for a worship team. They could go through the book together. Chrissy actually has a leadership guide that will help a small group go through it that you can download for free. And then by the end of the book, the worship team could write their own song for their church. How cool would that be? Bringing in new music that was original to the church. So please get the word out about that. It's amazing. One thing I did want to say, we had some little technical difficulties and I just thought it was so funny. So I kind of left it on here. I didn't edit it out. It was making me giggle. So I'm just keeping it real here, people. Just wanted to laugh a little bit about that, but just enjoyed my conversation with Chrissy. And always remember, in our homes, in our community, and in our world, we are living the God Girl life, and what a blessed life it is. Have a great week, everyone, and we'll see you next week. God bless you. Bye now.